feel much like leaving. You don't want me to go, but all your tamaracks are needling your beauty in the snow. And I'll see you soon at Christmas, a happy holiday. Oh, how you gonna miss me if I won't go away? I'm overtime, I'm in demand.
Welcome to Folk Roots Radio Overtime. I'm Jan Hall. It is our extra helping of Folk Roots Radio. It takes place every Saturday on CFIU from 10 till 11 a.m. Now, it's my great pleasure to welcome a very special person into the studio today. Kevin Bright is one of the most innovative and creative guitarists that Canada has ever produced, and he's a personal favorite of mine. Comfortable performing jazz, blues, world music, or his own solo compositions. And let's be honest, they can often go in all those directions at the same time. Kevin Bright is a phenomenon. He's recorded and toured with a who's who of popular music, and watching him play live is indeed an amazing experience. If ever there was a person who is one with whatever stringed instrument he is playing, that person has to be Kevin Bright. Coming up, Kevin Bright joins us in the studio to chat about his new instrumental and duet double album. It's entitled Ernesto and Delilah, and it's a lot of fun, and it also features Rebecca Jenkins on vocals as well. Very much looking forward to talking to Kevin about the album today. But before we get there, this is Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins and Dance with Delilah. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph.
Today it rang so clear I couldn't turn away. I went looking for you, looking for you. Your sister, your kindred soul, we keep on fighting like it's World War IV. Forget it, baby, let's just forget it. Treasure chest, the smoke takes the words up west to the valley, west of the valley. And here's a picture when we were in school. The boy you loved, well, I loved him too. I'm sorry, oh, I'm so, so sorry.
With Delilah, dance with Delilah.
That's Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins on a beautiful song entitled Dance with Delilah. And it's on this wonderful new CD. I was very excited when this arrived in the mail because it's bigger than every other CD I have ever seen. I think, obviously, Kevin is trying to get back to the vinyl age of everything being 12 inches. It isn't 12 inches, but I think it measures something like 6 by 5 or 7 by 5. Anyway, we're going to find out from the man himself because Kevin Bright is in the studio on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today.
Hi,
great
Jen.
To have you join us.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this wonderful album. It's in two parts. We've got the Ernesto part and the Delilah part. Obviously, we listened to a track from the Delilah part. That's the wonderful duet with Rebecca Jenkins.
Yeah. I don't know what my intentions ever were with this, but it definitely seemed to escalate into this double dose of mandolin music. The first being Ernesto, which is instrumental, my take on instrumental Brazilian music, which I love. And then Delilah was this duo record I always wanted to make with Rebecca.
So there's two questions that come out of that immediately. We all know you as a great guitarist. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to the show that will have seen you playing either in one of your own combos or on stage with people like Norah Jones. You tend to be a guitarist for hire. We'll talk a little bit about that a little later in this interview. But I'm fascinated about the love for the mandolin. And one question is obviously, why the mandolin? And then let's talk about the Brazilian aspect of the mandolin.
Sure. Well, I love mandolin, but what I really love is the history of mandolin orchestras. That's really what I'm going for here. And the last recording I made was field recording, and that was also. And in 1998, I made another. It wasn't an orchestra, but it was 8 mandolins. It was called Maybell. So I've always had this thing in it about mandolin orchestras, which they do exist, but not as commonplace as it was at the turn of the century, 20th century, where that was very, very common, and it seemed like every town had an orchestra, and it was mandolin players. And I love that, and that was something I was really into for the last 15 years. And so when I decided to make this record, I really couldn't say goodbye to field recording. I enjoyed making that record so much that I felt any step forward away from it, that record was lost, and I couldn't bear it. So I decided to make this record. And my intentions weren't a double disc. But once I started working on it, I got really caught up in it. And I spent I spent a long time on it. I don't spend that long on my recordings, fiscally. That's really why. So this one, I decided to really spend. So I spent a year working on these records, on the Ernesto and Delilah. And, my love for Brazilian music and Canadian music, too. I love music, so I've always wanted, I was just curious what a mandolin orchestra would do with Brazilian themes. And so I just tried it. I worked out a song and I arranged it. And then I thought, oh, this could maybe sustain into a full length recording.
We're going to dip into the Ernesto disc in a few seconds, but I want to take you back to the Upper York Mandolin Orchestra, because that is a fascinating entity in its own right, and I want to get you to share a little information about Thomas Dooley, who mm-hmm. I think was the person that started that, and we're talking about, what, the end of the 19th century? Is
it? Yeah, Tom Dooley. Yeah, Tom Dooley Senior, Tom Dooley the First. He was from Limerick. Here's the story on this one. So he came from Limerick, and he brought with him a Neapolitan mandolin, and he, with his brothers, started the orchestra in 1906, Upper York, north of Toronto. That was the idea, and it 300 members strong. They made records together. Then the third generation is Thomas Dooley III, who had the ravages of modern music and recorded music that the orchestra, nobody cared about mandolin music anymore. And so the Keith Dooley, the son of Thomas, that's sort of the picture. Like it's a generation, this family who kept this thing alive. That's what was playing in my mind. I took pictures of mandolin orchestras and different people who I just love looking at pictures and playing, people that you wouldn't think would, and I put them together on a wall, and they became my orchestra. And they were in my inspiration, and I called it the Upper York Mandolin Orchestra because the characters don't exist. Thomas Dooley doesn't exist. He's me, as is every character on the record, but they really existed for the last 4 or 5 years. It's been this relationship I have with these fictional characters who I write for. And I would go to my space, and it kind of looked like a serial killer place because I have people's pictures on the wall who I don't know. And I just would imagine I created these characters, and I made it, I made a website for the orchestra, and I came up with 300 names of names I made up of people that existed in this orchestra. And I imagined the whole thing, but it's kind of funny because it became a reality for me because I wrote, it was my inspiration. It was my muse was created. And so they existed. I didn't have conversations with the wall, but I did imagine that there was a Sandino's, there's characters who one plays mandolin and they're married. One plays mandola. And I'd always write sweet parts for them because I imagined they were in love that day. And then there's some days there was some friction, so I'd write that, and I'd imagine this, what they were looking like, what was going on. And I have difficulties writing if I don't have things like this. I have to have a concept to do it. I don't really enjoy just writing because I want to write. If I have something that I can imagine, then that's what I do. And this was perfect fodder for that thought. My thought process of creation was that I would just make it up. It was just to further the completion of these records.
And I think it was Thomas Dooley that introduced you to the composer, yeah, Ernesto Chiari, right? Who is Brazilian.
Yes.
Now, tell us how that happened. Was there always a fascination with Brazilian music in your own solo work?
Yes. Every musician, really, who will tell you that Brazilian music looms fairly large in their lives. You hear that music. There's nobody walks away from listening to Brazilian music and not being inspired by it for many, 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 many reasons. And it's like saying you don't like soup. It's that kind of music that's intoxicating. And I toured in Sao Paulo. I toured in with Ciro Baptista, and we have a duo called Super Generous, and we toured. And I of course loved, like I said, I loved the only thing I knew not then, but when I was a kid, I knew of course of Joe Beam, and. But then when I traveled, I really was smitten, with that sound. And because I love music that can be really super complex, but really simple, too. There are music that comes out of Brazil that's really simple, one chord and beautiful melodies that just tear at you. And then you get music that's really sophisticated and it's harmonically and melodically dense. And I love that. And so traveling around, I had that in my mind that I was going to do this. And that was in 2001. So it was 14 years this percolated in my head. And writing it was easy. I had the orchestra and I had this great, this open kind of an open dialogue with the writer, with Ernesto Chiari, which, you know, he was a character that I created that had passed away, who committed suicide in 1972, and he had a young wife and a son, and they never found his body, which left it open that he could still be alive somewhere, and I kind of did a lot of research as to where somebody in that time period, where would they live, who would they study with, who would be their favorite, and I went at that, and I. You know, Tom was able to get the original transcripts from the family, things that were finished, not finished, and there's a huge body of work. And that was, to me, really exciting to write like that. Like, I felt like there's nothing, nobody was telling me what I could and could not do. And that is actually, that has to be your agenda when you write, that you don't have somebody tisking you or telling you what you can or can't do. And I could make it as busy as I wanted. I filled every space on this record of Ernesto. I didn't want any space. It's space seems to be the game.
We're going to dip into that just now. We're going to play the title track, which I will get you to introduce,
because sure.
My Portuguese is not that good. I was going to say it doesn't exist, but let's be completely honest.
Okay.
Here. But when you say you filled in every space, you played all of the instruments, right, on that? Apart from, did you have someone play bass or something?
Yes. There's some of the tracks yes. I played everything. And some of the tracks I did play bass. I have special guests on Ernesto, which is Ciro, my partner in Super Generous. He played percussion, of course. And Gregoire Marais, who's the world's most outstanding harmonica player since Toots Thielemann. He played on it. The rest is me. And I cop to it.
So how many different mandolin tracks are included in a typical track on that album?
35, 36 tracks.
Wow.
Yeah, this Ernesto was full. It was at times six or seven mandocellos. So it's like cellos, you know, like it's a manicello, cello, viola, mandolin, or violin. So it was pretty filled up. And then the other, Delilah, was a quartet. It never left quartet. I wanted it to be a little bit sparse. But it's amazing how full Delilah is, considering it's only four mandolins.
Let's play that track just now, which I'll let you introduce. My guest today is Kevin Bright. We're talking about his wonderful new double album. It's entitled Ernesto and Delilah. It's available on Poverty Playlist.
Mm.
And go. This is your opportunity.
All right. It's Como Uno Carrito de Cavallo.
On Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. And I'm Jan Hall. Thank you. That's the Upper York Mandolin Orchestra with Como Uma Corrida de Cavallo, I can say it, from the new album by Kevin Bright. The album is Ernesto and Delilah. That is the first track from the CD that is entitled Ernesto. Kevin Bright is our guest on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. We've been having an incredible conversation. And I got to say, even during the time we're listening to that song, I had to say to Kevin, okay, let's stop talking because we really need to talk about this on air. I didn't realize when I was first listening to this how many mandolins or different versions of mandolins you'd actually brought together on that track. I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, my mind's blown. This is incredible to think that. I think at one point there's, 30 different instruments, but you're playing them all. Recorded them all, and you were using pretty much an analog type technique in a digital setting. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
Well, I definitely had an analog mindset, that's for sure, in that I didn't edit, because the parts were literal. They were completely arranged the way you're hearing them. I wasn't sculpting it digitally.
It's phenomenal. I was just listening, and the neat thing, and I wish we could have actually had everybody at home in the studio while we were talking, because you were taking me through the different parts and describing the song as it went, with the different instruments coming in, and it was fascinating and very much like that feel you would have if you had those 30 musicians
right.
working together on creating this piece.
Yeah. Well, you know, the many aspects to making this Ernesto and Delilah was getting the right characters. And the characters for me was acquiring the instruments that were turn-of-the-century instruments. So because they didn't get along. It's amazing when you have a 1908 Gibson mandocello, excuse me, and you put it next to a new mandola, they don't get along. It's an incredible thing to hear, how instruments were made, because they were made then by the Gibson Corporation, Gibson Company, to be in orchestras. That's why they're made. Nobody played mandocello because they sat on their porch. They played it because it was in an orchestra. That's what they're made for. So all the instruments I used were in the same era, like between 1906 and 1909. And it's quite pricey because those instruments are, not only are they hard to acquire, but they're hard to acquire in good shape that you can actually, they're in tune. So I didn't want to spend time just being in the studio tuning the things up. I really wanted them to be, in good shape. So all the looking for the perfect mandolin for this orchestra, mandolins, there was many, many, many mandolins I used, and I owned them. So, but I would phone all over anybody that, sold mandolins. I would try and find that mandolin without killing me. Fiscally killing me. And I did. I found the mandolin. It seemed to get along great. And I had to replace some of the mandolins that were, one was from 1985, and it was fighting constantly. Like it was a battle to get them sonically. And this is what I was saying earlier about, I didn't want to be too finicky with getting inside the computer and editing, or even getting into the EQ, because if it wasn't right, it wasn't right. And the instruments that were made in that time period of the glory years of the turn of the century, like I said, early 19 to 1919, say that was the death of the mandolin orchestras. Those instruments really have that wood. There's something about them. They don't have sparkle. They do have depending on how you play, you can extract sparkle from them, but they're really woody and very, very warm. And that's what I was looking for. And I wasn't getting that in new instruments. And I know there are great luthiers who could make that. I know that. But given how much time I had to do this. I wasn't finding them, so I had to go to the source.
So that piece of music, which we should tell people the English translation. What is the English translation?
As a Racehorse.
As a Racehorse. Yeah. I should mention in the sleeve notes that come with this beautifully packaged double album. It is a wonder to behold, you know. And one of the things I've lamented with the development of the CD was the fact that everything is so small. And I'm getting to the age, and dare I say it, I have to be honest, where some days I actually do pick up a magnifying glass when I want to read some of the tiny print.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the packaging for this is it doesn't have it. But what's really cute about the Ernesto sleeve notes is they're all in Portuguese, which I thought was probably kind of fun.
Yeah, right. It was Elnora, Elnora, I can't believe I've known her forever, Elnora Alberto, Ciro's wife. She did the translations. And I have to say, the package was done by two Guelphites, Nick Crane, he put together, and Ryan Price did the art.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, they did an amazing job.
Yeah. I was joking about it being a little too big to fit on my CD shelf, but that's okay because now it has pride of place in my home studio. How long does it take to create one of these tracks? I imagine you must actually have to arrange the music for all of these different mandolin instruments and then record. I mean, that must take quite a while to just put one track down.
Well, I finish it. Sometimes they go fast. It would be, you know, I can do it, you know, a couple days I can get it done, arrange it. And it's if I do the work before I go in the studio, it's the best because that means I've written it down and I have a concept. But usually I go, what happened with these is that with everything on Ernesto and Delilah, I was always going back and just getting into that headspace of what it was about. And I was constantly rearranging. That's what took the time, because as it was being formed, one song to fit the other songs, I felt that I had to give them similar treatments or different treatments. So I was never taking away from them. I was always adding to it and thinking, well, I think it needs something interesting here. And I have four bars to say something, so what do I want to say? That would take time.
That sounds lots of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
We're going to head back to the Delilah album just now because I want to play a couple more pieces of music. I sense that this is a musical conversation that's heavy on the conversation, and I'm sure the people at home would love to hear some music. Mm. I'd like to play Silver Buttons, Seven Silver Buttons and Murderous Dimitri just now. That is one of the duets with Rebecca Jenkins. I want to perhaps talk about Rebecca Jenkins and the recording of this album after playing, but give us a little bit of an introduction to Seven Silver Buttons and Murderous Dimitri.
Well, they were Murderous Dimitri, and I split them up because I liked Seven Silver Buttons on its own. I thought that it was a kind of a cool instrumental track on a record that isn't instrumental. And it's only, you know, a minute long. But lyrically, it was I came up with this idea of love that's fairly dysfunctional. The character who sings, he is in love with a prostitute, and her passport is being held by a gangster who's Dimitri. And he is doing everything he can do to take her away from this life. But inevitably, he doesn't really, that doesn't happen. And Murderous Dimitri is he becomes our main character in the song.
This is fascinating. Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins from the new album, Ernesto and Delilah. This is Seven Silver Buttons and Murderous Dimitri. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime. And I'm Jan Hall. That's Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins and Selvin Silver Buttons and Murderous Dimitri. There are two songs from the new Delilah album that Kevin's released with the album Ernesto that really, really go fabulously together. It's absolutely beautiful. You know what's even better, Kevin? Kevin Bright is our guest on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. It's the fact that you're in the studio telling us about how you created the characters that are in these songs, and it's actually incredible. I'm actually starting to get that, oh my God, I think I'm going to have like a Peter and the Wolf experience here that, you know, we'll talk about the release shows for this musical extravaganza a little later, but it's really nice to have that sort of information about, you know, well, this is what you're supposed to understand about this song. And you know what? It is an incredible duet. Tell us a little bit about the recording of Delilah. You mentioned earlier that it was a quartet.
It was, yeah, thank you. It was a quartet. It is a quartet. It's a mandolin quartet, so that would be like a string quartet, two mandolins, a mandola and a manicello, and the bass. And a little bit of percussion every once in a while. It was after I'd finished Ernesto. I was going to release that. And then I was writing songs. I was back in the mood to write songs, and I was writing them. And I just did a demo because I had the mandolins there. I did a demo of it. I thought, oh, I won't make it so extreme. And I thought it worked out great. And I thought, I'd been working on this idea with Rebecca for a long time. And she'd been on two or three of my recordings doing duets with me or just singing. And it seemed like the direction was, I didn't have to think too hard about it. And I asked her if she'd want to do it, and she did, and she came to the studio, and we did it. We did in spurts, you know. I think it was three different spurts of getting this whole record finished.
Well, it's very, very beautiful. When you record the duets, obviously you're playing all the mandolins on this. So, are you, each person sings against the backing track? How does that work? Or you sing the duet together against the instrumental backing track?
Right. Well, it depended on the song because, like I was saying, I was quite finicky after. Like, I'd go back. So sometimes I would just put down a bare bones guitar. And then she and I would sing it together as like Murders Dimitri was the two of us singing. It was fairly live. It was like that. But then I wrote the song for Dimitri, the dance of the, there's a line in the song that says, Murders Dimitri, he dances with a trembling hand. So, you know, the name Dimitri, you know, I thought I could write a Russian little dirge before it that you could visualize, you know, this incredibly dangerous character dancing about with these funny hands. And that was Seven Silver Buttons. So I wrote that after. But some of the songs, the mandolins were finished. And then and I knew the key that Rebecca liked to sing in. And so I arranged it. But a lot of the songs, they went both. I think it was 50-50 that I wasn't sure of the key that she liked singing or what sounded good, that she thought sounded good for her voice. She could sing in any key, but that she felt comfortable.
You duet really well. Is it something you really love to do?
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's, I love it. I love her. I think her voice is so spectacular. And I've known about her for a long time. And when I hear her sing, I don't think anybody sings like her. I just love her voice.
So what will happen from the point of view of the CD release for this album? And album was released, I think, last week. Do you have some CD release shows planned?
Yeah, the end of June into July, we're going to do a mandolin quartet with doing songs from both Ernesto. It's going to be a lot of work. I have to really get into that arranging mode. But it'll be myself, of course, and I'll be playing mandocello, and then three other mandolin players, two playing mandolin, one playing mandola, Rebecca, and Russ Boswell playing bass, who played on both discs, and percussion, I think.
So where will that take place? Do you have shows planned yet?
Yeah, they're coming in, which is really nice. Because it's early because the record's just released. But we're doing some shows in Toronto, a show in Toronto, Hughes Room, I think in the 29th. And then a show here, and I'm hoping the Registry. And then maybe one more show. Four or five in a row, that's what I want to do.
Will you be wearing turn-of-the-century tuxedos? Because no. I may be disappointed if...
Jeez, I got to think about that. What will be the garb? I don't think so. I think it'll just be... one-piece jumpsuits with the terry cloth. No, I don't know what it'll be. I think it'll just be, but you got me thinking now. What will it
be? You are so creative. I think that the least I can do is say that at least when I can come and say, see, he did that because I asked
for it.
Let's go back to the album. I'd like to play another of the duets. Mm. And the one I've chosen is Ghost of California. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah. I was, for a red hot minute, I was into the Wing Walkers. There was two deaths of two Wing Walkers in the last, I think in the last 3 years. And I started doing research and I discovered Ethel Dare, and who died in 1923 in Michigan. And she was a Wing Walker. And obviously her name wasn't Ethel Dare, nor was her name Mrs. Charles Johnson. So there's very little as to who she was. All they know is that she surrendered her life on the wing of a plane, and she peacefully died, and they found her body in a cornfield. But she had done these, 200 of these incredible stunts, and I was pretty inspired by it. I wrote this song about Ethel Dare.
This is wonderful. We're going to play that just now. This is Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins and Ghost of California from the wonderful new album, Delilah. It's a double album with Ernesto. Absolutely fabulous. Available now on Poverty Playlist. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
Her in kind, the sheep deserve better, leave them tears behind. You're free to do anything, and now it's your turn to see the world in all its rags and see it in its fur. So here's to you, my cherry bomb, here's to you, my queen. We went well together like the fools up on the screen. So get yourself a dandy who's nothing like me, a elusive man of mystery, kind king of intrigue. The ghosts of California, the ghosts of what I can't afford, yeah. The ghosts of California, la 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 la. If you love somebody, then let them go. Whoever said that, they don't really know. A dusty old cliche waits in the hours of your name. Thirsty hearted lover sees no sign of her returning. My mind is ticking from the red blood vine. Raindrops on a metal roof drum out a second line. Steve McQueen, the father, the one I never knew. He stands among the shadows in the room I lay with you. The ghosts of California. The ghosts of what I can't afford, yeah. The ghosts of California. La 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 la.
baby on the ghost of California. She's eyeing the flyer from the Rose of Retard. It's a great Ethel Dare and the Michigan horizon. She don't give a damn and she don't give a reason. For no safety line, no parachute, and no net to catch it. There is no past, there is no future. I see her body bathed naked in a porcelain tub. I shudder to remember, I lift my head up. The ghosts of California. The ghosts of what I can't afford, yeah. Ghosts of California.
That's Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins and the wonderful Ghost of California from Delilah, part of the wonderful double CD, Ernesto and Delilah. Kevin Bright has been our guest on Folk Roots Radio Overtime today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here.
Oh, Jan, thank you for having me.
Can you just very quickly let people know how they can learn more about your musical, I was going to say your whimsical nature, perhaps opportunities to see you live in the coming months?
Yeah, they'll all be on the website, which is kevinbright.com. It should all be there.
Well, it's been absolutely fabulous having you join us. I'm really looking forward to this CD release. Remember, there will be one locally in Kitchener at the Registry Theatre, an absolutely fabulous, fabulous.
And there'll be one here, venue. Too. There'll be one in Guelph.
Oh, there'll be a Guelph one, too.
At Silence, yeah.
Oh, at Silence, too. That's perfect.
29th, yep.
Two opportunities to wear turn-of-the-century tuxedos. That's good. We're going to leave you today with Come On Home, one of the tracks from the Delilah album. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that, Kevin?
Yeah, a character that likes to acquire and is an eBayer, and he eBays every useless piece of item you can imagine, except for the love of a good woman, and he's trying to entice her back by saying, look at all this great stuff I have. Why don't you come back? I'm lost without you, and he is lost. And so it's all the crap you can get on eBay.
That's great. Kevin Bright with Rebecca Jenkins, and Come On Home from the album Delilah. It's been an absolute pleasure having you join us today.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time. Remember, if you want to check out this show again, you'll be able to find it on Mixcloud at mixcloud.com, Folk Roots Radio, and also on our website at folkrootsradio.com. I'll see you next time. You've been listening to Folk Roots Radio Overtime, and I'm Jan Hall. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Used before the markets crashed. A souped up 5-speed Rambo. A poker face cockatoo. A cellar full of wine, dandelion. A prize fighting kangaroo. Valve to valve from the ribbon, not from a late night TV show. Rusty monkeys, wind them up and watch them go. Come on home,
come on home. I've got so much to give you. Come on home. So lost without you, come on home. A diamond studded pacifier, an aerosol guru scent, day glow painted bowling pins with faces of presidents. Weapon jewelry tucked in a Gucci purse, hanging bags of rosaries in a thunderbolt hearse. Come on home, yeah, yeah, oh, come on home. I got so much to give you. Oh, come on home.
Give you. I'm so lost without you.
Come on home.